Welcome back to what you have all been waiting so anxiously for, and that is another episode of Frog Fever, a podcast presented by killerfrogs.com. I am Davis Wilson. I'm here again with my co-host Nick Jeremani. Nick, how was your Thanksgiving?
My Thanksgiving was nice. I work for football for TCU, so I was stuck in Fort Worth just chilling with some friends. So nothing too exciting, but watched a lot of college basketball, which is always nice. What
Yeah,
about
that's
you?
good. I went home back to Texas and hung out with some family, watched a lot of football and a lot of basketball. That TCU football game. Thankfully, we're not a football podcast. We don't have to get into that too much, but
Yeah, we don't have to talk about it.
I did see that I saw a funny tweet that was Jamie Dixon's defense. Gave up
Yeah,
less points than
I saw
Joe
that too.
Gillespie's. It's funny.
69 to 64, whatever it was.
So that's always good. But yeah, getting into more basketball stuff. Another good week for TCU. Still undefeated on the year, but before we get into them, we'll do what we normally do and kind of go around the Big 12 and see what happened. And the first thing I thought we could bring up was Texas. Texas had a pretty eventful week. We recorded last Sunday, I believe, and that is when they played Louisville that day. So we haven't talked about the Louisville game yet, which was decided on a game winner. But what is your, you know, what are you thinking about Texas right now?
Texas had a very eventful week. Like you said, that Louisville game seemed like, a month ago. And it to me, they got away with one because Louisville sucks. Like, they are not a good team. I don't even know if they won a conference game last year, and they might have won one. But what I took away from that is that Texas has flaws. Giving up 80 to a Louisville team is not good at all, and they aren't as deep as we might have thought. Again, they were out Dylan Dessau and another quality player, I can't remember, but they were out two quality players, so you give them a little bit of a pass and they are a really good team. But if Asemus doesn't hit that game winner, a lot of people are talking about Texas more as being a fraud when now they're just kind of dismissing it.
That was a big shot for Max, obviously. Because I think that Louisville's terrible. Like, there's no real way to put it. They're 157th in KenPom. They have kind of been almost the laughing stock of college basketball for the last year or two, just because of some of the losses that they have. But yeah, I mean, I don't think Louisville's any good. But getting a win was a priority for Texas there, and they did. And I think that is the positive, I guess, we can take from this. They had some guys who had obviously Amos with the game winner. They had Caden Shedrick with 20, 27, I think. So, I mean, they looked, you know, they that was a game they should have won by more. And then they go the next day. The following day, they lose to UConn, who is, you know, a much different team, obviously, than Louisville. UConn is a really good team, and they fall to UConn 81 to 87. So that's not a terrible loss, but what did you think about Texas's first loss of the year? And you know, what if anything have we learned about them from the games they played over the last week?
Yeah, they need to get healthier because Dessau is such a big part of their team, and he was the Big 12 tournament player of the tournament last year, so that's going to be crucial for them. He could be one of their best players, and if you look at it from a broad standpoint, like, they're doing everything that we kind of expected them to be, which is a good team. Like, you're not better than UConn, but you're better than all the people you beat so far. So I think it's still wait and see as to how good this Texas team is going to be. They're going to be upper echelon of the Big 12 and going to be up there. I don't know if they're as elite as a Houston or a Kansas, as a team like that. But as we see in the non-conference coming up, they got Marquette coming up, which is going to be a nice, fun game. And then obviously the Big 12 schedule is a gauntlet. So They're still going to be good, and as they get more healthy, we'll see more of them. That Louisville game must have been an off night with a shorthanded crew, so they avoided a disastrous event. So I think they're chilling right now, to be honest.
Yeah, and we'd be talking a lot differently about Texas if, you know, Max didn't hit that shot. But at this early in the year, when you're in your non-conference stuff, and you're playing in a tournament, mid-season tournament like that, like getting wins is your priority. And, you know, like you've mentioned, Texas was not 100% healthy. So I think walking away with a win really in any capacity is okay. And I think there's a lot to be learned about this team, especially like you said, when they do get healthy. And yeah, they have Marquette, which is a fun Shaka Smart reunion. And then they get LSU in a couple weeks. So again, like we mentioned with a lot of these teams, it's hard to tell right now because, you know, it's early and not everyone's healthy, and it's just difficult to see. But as these non-conference games start to get a little more meaningful, and obviously conference play comes in, that's when we're going to learn a ton about the team that Texas has. Yeah, so I mean, I think they're okay. We don't have to overreact to Texas yet. Obviously a pretty tough shot from Azmus there, but moving on, you had an idea where we would do our winners and losers of the week in the Big 12. So there was a ton of action, a lot of, you know, every team played a couple games. So what, just starting off, we'll start with you. What was your, who was your winner of the week in the Big 12?
Yeah, there's obviously, like you said, so much to unpack with Feast Week. So my winners that I took away is that the new guys of the Big 12 has showed that they're going to be good, besides UCF, who lost to Stetson. But we knew UCF sucks, so we can just kind of dismiss that. But especially you look at BYU and Houston. Like, Cincinnati's undefeated, and they're just taking care of business, similar like a TCU where you're doing what you're supposed to do, and they're going to be a good team. But if you look at BYU and the schedule that they've had, the fact that they're undefeated is insane right now. Like, they took down San Diego State, who's a top tier team. You beat Arizona State, who TCU will see, by 28, I think it was. And then you beat NC State, who was another quality team. So we didn't know what to think about with BYU coming into the Big 12. And we've seen that, you know, they're not the most experienced team. They don't have a lot of new, like, mind blowing talent, but they're just getting it done. They run about 8 deep every game. And I think it's safe to say that they've proven to this point that they're going to be good. Mm-hmm. Like, they have a Utah game coming up in the non-conference. And the fact that they're just, like, ranked and undefeated is almost a shocker, and to show that the Big 12 just got that much stronger, which you didn't even know it could have done.
Yeah. When those four teams came in, everybody was talking a lot about Houston and what Houston was going to bring to the basketball side of things in the Big 12. But BYU has, like, really is one of the best teams in the conference right now, just on paper. You know, they started the year ranked 36th in KenPom. They're now up to number 10, which is only behind, let's see, they're only behind Kansas and Houston in the Big 12. They're ahead of Baylor. They're ahead of TCU, Texas. So they're a for real team. Like you said, they have some great wins. And I think Mark Pope deserves a ton of credit for what he's been able to do there so far. You know, in the short time that we've gotten to look at them this year, they have some great wins already. So, yeah, that's a good winner. They were, and then, yeah, you mentioned also Cincinnati is taking care of business. So, yeah, I agree. My, my winner of the week was Oklahoma. They, similar to BYU, have started to pick up some really quality wins. They beat Iowa and USC on Thursday and Friday of last week, back-to-back days. I think that you know, maybe Oklahoma was slightly underrated coming in, and now they're kind of figuring things out. What do you think about the Sooners?
Yeah, we didn't know what to think about Oklahoma coming in because they had such a big roster turnover that we just didn't know how well they're going to mesh. Like, they had some talent with the transfers that they were getting in. And it's been insanely impressive that they took down that Iowa and USC. Like, that's a tough, you know, back-to-back wins at Feast Week that you can hang your hat on later in the year. Mm-hmm. And they've proven that they're going to be in the top tier, like your BYU and these teams that you didn't think would be out there that jumped. Other guys, like, they deserve to be ranked, and it's insanely impressive that they're may having the success with a lot of transfers. It almost reminds me of TCU a couple years ago when we had such a big roster turnover, adding E-Man, adding Micah, adding DB, and you just didn't know what to think, but they're just kind of meshing together at this point, so there's something to be taken seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're kind of also similar to this year's TCU team. They kind of do it. They kind of get their points from anywhere. Like, they have Otega Owe, who's been leading their scoring so far. By the way, he's only taken 4 threes, but he has not missed one so far, and he's averaging 15 points a game. That's kind of a funny stat. So he should just keep shooting, and I guess he'll make all of them.
You'll never miss.
Yeah. But yeah, I think now we're kind of seeing, you know, we all know that Porter Moser is a good basketball coach and he's accomplished a lot, obviously at Loyola Chicago, all those Cinderella teams that he put together. But now I think we're seeing him kind of with the roster that he likes and wants to have. And I think we're already seeing that pay off. Iowa and USC are both really big wins, probably Q1 wins when it comes down to selection a couple months away. Getting those in non-conference is huge because the Big 12 is tough and they're probably going to drop a game or two that they'd like to win. So having wins against teams like Iowa and USC are pretty big, especially this early. And yeah, I'm impressed. I didn't know what to expect out of Oklahoma this year because of the roster turnover and because of how loaded this conference is, but they're ranked and they've done a really good job with the pretty tough schedule that they've had so far.
Yeah, it's cool for these teams like your BYUs and Oklahomas to jump into this upper echelon of the Big 12 so fast, because we already know that the Big 12 is the top basketball conference, but in a weird way, they've almost gotten stronger. Like, I think Houston is arguably the top team in college basketball all together right now. And then you have your Kansas. And when you have these teams like BYU and Oklahoma that can compete with these upper echelon teams, like, it's going to make conference play so fun. And you have your TCUs, your Iowa States that are up there that we haven't discussed yet. Your Baylor's always going to be there. Like, it's insane that the top tier talent in this league is so deep, where, you know, your top 7 teams could beat anybody each night, and it's going to make conference play just that much more exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And then the last thing on Oklahoma is they've got some, their conference schedule really doesn't get any easier. If anything, it might get a little more difficult. They have Providence. What is that, a week from today? I think that'll be a week from today. And then they get Arkansas and North Carolina to close out non-conference. I guess not actually to close out non-conference, but those two games are going to be games against good opponents, and we'll get an even better idea of how for real this Sooner team is. But I'm impressed with him so far, and I'm impressed with Coach Moser and what he's done to kind of get his guys in there, and it's working for him.
100%.
Let's move on to your loser of the week. Let's hear it.
Yeah, my loser of the week is West Virginia's hopes of turning it around. I think I'm ready to write off West Virginia. Like, they just haven't played good in any single game this year. They lost to SMU by 12. They lost to Virginia, which they, at least they kept that one close. But in every single game, like even their easy games, they had Missouri State beaten by just 8. You know, they lost to Monmouth, as we discussed last week. They only beat Jacksonville State by 13. They just beat Bellarmine by 4. And their non-conference gets tough. Like, we'll see this week and next week. They play St. John's. They'll get a date with Patino. And then they got to go to – they play Pitt, too. So I'm ready to say that this West Virginia team sucks. And they're going to get Creasa back, yeah. And it's due to – a big factor is obviously Huggins. Like, it's almost impossible to turn around what he left on his way out. So – I don't think they'll be a threat at all in the Big 12. I think them and UCF will be battling it out for that last spot.
It was like, I mean, it, the way their offseason went was about as poorly as it could have gone. They obviously Huggins left, and it was just an exodus from their team. So I think that they weren't really, at least me, at least both of us, we weren't really expecting this team to be great. And so far they're kind of showing us that they've basically they've played two quality opponents and lost to both. And they've also lost to a really bad opponent. So yeah, I'm not really looking at West Virginia to make any sort of real noise coming up, just because they haven't, you're right. They haven't looked good. They just beat Bellarmine by 4 points at home. Bellarmine is the 216th best team according to KenPom. So, just like none of their wins. I mean, all of their losses, I guess, except for the Virginia one, have been bad losses, and all of their wins have been unimpressive wins. So yeah, we just haven't really seen anything that would make us go, oh, maybe West Virginia can compete. They haven't shown us that at all. And really, it's going to get a lot tougher for them. Like you said, they get St. John's and Pittsburgh at home, and then they have some games they should win, but who knows? And then they get Ohio State on December 30th, a neutral site game before Big 12 stuff starts. So, yeah, they're not I think, yeah. You mentioned it. It's just they're not very good, unfortunately. And they'll probably get better, like you said, when Creasa comes back. We'll see. But right now, yeah, they're not where probably they want to be.
100%. Yeah, we thought they'd be bad, and yeah, they're even worse than what I thought. So
yeah, okay. My loser could be slightly controversial, but I'm gonna go with Kansas's depth. We talked about this a lot on the previous pod after they kind of scraped by against Kentucky, who's kind of a team full of freshmen. They played three games, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They beat the brakes off of Chaminade, and then they got Marquette and Tennessee, and they fell to Marquette. And it wasn't really close. It was 73-59. And I just want to look at the box score here to point out what I'm talking about. They played 9 guys, but only 8 guys got over 10 minutes or at least 10 minutes. And only 7 guys got at least 12 minutes, if that makes sense. So, you know, you get Kevin McCuller, who scores 24 and gets 8 rebounds, and you get Hunter Dickinson, who gets you 13 and 8. But like we talked about, like who else is going to be there for them? You know, DeJuan Harris wasn't very good. He was 2 for 8, 0 of 3 from the 3-point line. He had 4, 3, and 3, and 2. So he at least gave you some other things besides scoring. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what this team has when, you know, outside of its 2 or 3 players. And I think we talked about this being a concern last week, but I think that game against Marquette, who's the best team they've played all year, really demonstrated that they do have weaknesses, especially in the depth area. But yeah, what are your thoughts on Kansas? Are you worried about their depth at all?
I think that Kansas this year will be probably the most debated team amongst all of college basketball because they have the personalities, the hype, and then the debate on whether they're actually like a title contender or not. Yeah, as the points we pointed out last podcast, like DeJuan Harrison's going to give you 5 threes a game like he had against Kentucky, and Dickinson's not going to give you 20 rebounds a game. So you're going to need guys to step up. You would hope that Ilmarco Jackson, who's a five-star, would take that next step, but he has been horrible to start the year, to be frank. Like, he just hasn't had much scoring. And they have this Australian guy, Furphy, that I really like, and I think they should give more minutes. He doesn't play defense, but I feel like you have enough wing defenders with McCullough and DeJuan that you can kind of get away with playing just a pure shooter just to give you that extra offensive piece that allows teams to have to expand and guard those.
Mm-hmm.
They're tough because I think they could beat anyone. Obviously, yeah, they were number one preseason. Mm-hmm. And if you exploit like a matchup with Dickinson and have these very experienced players in McCullough and Harris around you, you have the talent to beat anybody. I'm super excited for this UConn game because Kansas did lose to Marquette, yes, but they also beat a very good Tennessee team that has one of the best defenses in college basketball. So this UConn game is going to be huge to see just how good they are on Friday, I think it is. So it seems like Klingon for UConn can match up with them pretty well. I personally think that Kansas, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this game because I think the teams are pretty even. So I'm very excited to see how Kansas performs against probably the best team they've seen so far. And it just be a litmus test to just how dominant Dickinson can be, how their guards can step up when things go bad, and how they can compete against a top tier team.
Yeah. I just want to make it clear, I don't think Kansas is bad. I hope that's not what came across. I think that they're undoubtedly, in my opinion, a top five, top seven team in the country. I think the question that we are bringing up and that what we have brought up is, are they a championship, national championship team? And in my opinion, they have the top end talent to do that. I think Hunter Dickinson, arguably, you know, maybe the best player in college basketball, at least one of them. You have DeJuan Harris, who's one of the best guards, just pure like point guards. Kevin McCullough, you know what you have in him. He can give you pretty much whatever he wants to give you. And then, you know, guys like KJ Adams, who's a younger guy who's starting to kind of play a little bit more. Like, they're a good team. And I think that, you know, they're a good team that's going to be in the top 10 probably all year. And especially we need to talk about the way they beat Tennessee, who's a top 10 team, both in the AP poll and in KenPom. And, you know, they beat a good Tennessee team. And let's see, they basically had seven dudes in the rotation. They had nine guys play total, but only seven got at least 10 minutes, which is kind of the way I look at it. But I think that they're one of the most talented teams in the country when you look at the top of their lineup. And I think it gets a little questionable as it goes down. But yeah, I'm pumped for UConn. I think that's going to be the game we look at because they've already played Kentucky. They've already played Marquette. They've already played Tennessee, who are all really good. And you know, we still don't have a great idea about how good they actually are. And I think UConn's going to give us a really good look at how good that team is going forward. But the one thing, you know, it's just the depth for me. Like, I love what they have, like star-wise, but like guys like Nick Timberlake, I was excited about him for Kansas. He was one of the best shooters in the country and he hasn't really shown much yet. So I don't know. I think there's obviously no need to panic. This is a good team, and it's just how good can they be, I think, is the question that we're talking about.
Yeah, they put themselves at such a high standard that it's like when you win natties, you're going to be held to that natty standard. And so that's obviously why they're criticized so much. I'm interested to see too, aside of the lack of depth, which is obviously like that's a huge concern for him. I'm interested to see how Dickinson deals with top tier big men, because the one I think Dickinson is probably a top two offensive player in the country, but you can exploit him on the defensive end, and I think teams are starting to see that. Like the one elite big man he's played so far is Oso Iguodaro for Marquette, and he gave him I think 21. And when you put him in the pick and roll and get him on a switch with guards, he's like a bad defender at that point. And so he in coming up against UConn, you have some of the best big men in the country with Klingon, and they have this backup. I don't know if he's a sophomore now, but he's an athletic freak. So what he's going to be able to do to neutralize these big men is going to be massive, because if that's something you can exploit with Kansas and you have a good big man, I think that's a huge hole for them. And I think that's why Michigan hasn't had much success in the Big Ten with them, because they had were full of top big men that just exploited Dickinson inside. So that'll be huge for Kansas going forward, and to boost their defense internally.
I guess the last thing to wrap up the Kansas stuff is that my perception of them really hasn't changed since the year started. So anyone who takes my depth concern and anyone who takes that as me not liking Kansas is wrong. I think they're really good, and I think that basically it's just the same concerns we've had all year for them. And we'll find out a lot against UConn. All right, let's move on to
It's all I was gonna say, it's
yeah
also
one
fun to
yeah
hate on Kansas too, because
I
Dickinson's such a villain, and they win natty, so it's just fun
know
to shit on him when you can.
I know I have to get it in every once in a while. I don't get to very much, so but yeah and yeah they'll be fine, they'll be just fine. All right, let's do. You want to do some TCU action?
Yeah, I'm
All right.
down.
So they played twice since we've last recorded a pod. They beat Alcorn State and they beat Houston Christian. It's kind of the same deal we've been talking about. Really, they don't, they're not playing anyone yet, but they're beating the teams they play. So you can't really say too much about it. But what if, you were there? I think, were you at both games?
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, so tell me about
I'm excited that this is the last week of this routine in terms of like, oh, they're just killing these bad teams. But one thing that stood out to me from last game is that we forced, I think, 24 turnovers and we only had six turnovers, which is so massive in what you're trying to do defensively with Dixon to neutralize these giveaways and fast points for other teams, and getting out and transition as fast as possible by creating turnovers. And so many guys had steals for TCU. Jameer had such a good game last night against Houston Christian. He had 15 and 10. I think that was his career high in assists. So he, like, everybody's kind of clicking and getting in the flow. I think what we've done against this bad competition to start the year is very important, because we've just handled them and there's been no real scares other than just like a couple slow starts here or there. So I like how we've taken care of business, and I like how these games have allowed us to kind of click and get a feel for each other with the whole new roster. So I'm super excited to see what we do as competition starting at Georgetown on Saturday.
Yeah, KenPom says TCU is the fourth best team when it comes to steal percentage. That's nationally the fourth best team in the country. They are like they always kind of do. They're getting out and running in the fast break, which is what they were so good at last year and what they've already proved they're so good at this year. But yeah, again, we're kind of seeing different guys step up for TCU. Last night, I think was kind of the last night was Houston Christian. And that was kind of the coming out party a little bit for Emmanuel Miller, a guy we have a lot of expectations for. He led the team in scoring with 19. He was efficient. He was, you know, 7 of 13. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks. He kind of did a little bit of everything. But the one thing I was kind of waiting on, you know, TCU's looked so good so far against these bad teams, but the one thing I wanted to see was one of these games from Eman. And we got that. We got that yesterday against Houston Christian, along with a lot of other really strong individual performances.
100%. We say it every week, but it is cool how this team has all these different guys that can be the number one guy for you every night, and you don't know who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. And I think this team's constructed perfectly for Jamie in that they can all run. You know, we have more shooting this year than I think we've had in years past. Mm-hmm. The one thing I worry about is a little bit with the rebounding. Like, even though we won by, I don't know, like 37 yesterday or whatever it was, mm-hmm. we got out-rebounded by Houston Christian, which is kind of crazy that you can beat a team by that much and get out-rebounded, but mm-hmm. that was the case. We've talked to, I think the big man is going to be a consistent thing in terms of playing all three the same amount, and they've actually done a decent job in games past. And you wore out Chuck O'Bannon last night with an ankle, so he gives you a bigger sense of rebounding off the back, so I think it's not too much to be concerned about. But if you're trying to nitpick against these bad teams and what to worry about, that's probably the route I would go. Just getting out faster and making sure you crash the glass. I think we only have 3 offensive rebounds too, which is kind of an alarming stat, but yeah, I don't think it's too much to sweat about.
Another thing that I have noticed, and I haven't been to any games, but you, I think, have been to most of them, maybe all of them, I don't know. But the one thing that I've noticed pretty much every game is TCU doesn't really start super fast. They're always, and not that it's mattered so far, but they have kind of let their opponent hang around for the first 5 or 10 minutes of the game. And then it's like, you know, they put it into a different gear and they, you know, dominate. Like, just like we saw last night, they ended up winning by, I think it was 37. But at the beginning of that game, they were down. They were not winning. In the first, I think it was like 5 minutes in, they were down. So what is your take on that? Is that something to be concerned about, especially as they start to see better teams? Or is that, you know, I don't know, is that a concern for you?
Yeah, I've been going back and forth with that because, yeah, it hasn't mattered so far. And after every game, because that's one of like the few bad things that TCU has done against these bad teams. Mm-hmm. So Jamie gets asked that like every post-game presser, and he doesn't seem to be too concerned. Mm-hmm. He always refers to how they started fast against Bama, and that's been like the one real team they played in the secret scrimmage. So
okay.
I think it's kind of a wait and see process. I wouldn't be too concerned until it does backfire on you. I don't know, but yeah, it's not great to, I mean, you don't want to continue to start slow and slow, because once you play a good team, it's going to be harder and harder to come back from it. But it might just be a sense of just trying to figure out things, and you can kind of experiment more against a bad team and you have more leeway to mess up. So yeah. I wouldn't be too concerned, but it's definitely something to watch.
Yeah. And back to last night's game against Houston Christian. Obviously, Emmanuel Miller led the way with 19 points, but I was super impressed with, once again, Jameer Nelson Jr. He had 10 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 steals. And we talked about him being the type of guy who will do everything for you last week, and he's continued to show that. I feel very excited about what he's bringing to this TCU team. And I am excited to see him play against some better teams, because I think that, I mean, I'm excited to see this whole team play against some better teams because we'll learn a lot, but I'm really excited for guys like Eman and Jameer and Jacoby all to play against some better competition, and we'll all kind of get a pretty good idea about how good those guys are and how good the team is overall.
Yeah, I love what Jameer's. I think Jameer's even filled his role better than I would have thought he would be. Like, I thought, I think we said before too, like, I thought he'd be a big time scorer, but he's doing everything for this team. Like, he's helping on the boards, he's scoring, he's dishing out
shots.
Yeah, he's blocking shots, he's getting steals. And guard defense is going to be so big as we get to tougher teams. Like, if we want to start the preview in Georgetown too, like, their two best players are guards, and Jaden Epps, who's one of the best in the country, and Styles is a nice little second option for him. So that's what's going to keep these guards playing, and that's why Jameer plays so much, is that he can control the tempo, he controls the game, he stops these top guards on defense and gets after it in transition. So he's literally a perfect fit for this, for what Jamie's trying to do.
Yeah, I think the idea about him when he committed to TCU was he's going to fill the Mike Miles role. He's going to be the best scorer on this team. You know, he averaged 20 a game at Delaware. But really, he's been, I mean, he's kind of taken, he's kind of taken that Mike Miles role, but he's really been more of an all-around player than I was expecting him to be, which has been pretty exciting. And then you pair him with like Avery Anderson, who's continued to be solid and is also a plus perimeter defender. And then like Micah Peavy, obviously one of the best perimeter defenders in the whole country. Defensively, I think this team has things to be excited about. And that, I think, goes under the radar, especially right now, because they haven't played a good offense. But, you know, obviously Georgetown and Clemson are going to be great tests for not only, you know, the scores for this team, but also the defense. And we can, we'll get into the Georgetown preview soon. But, yeah, I'm excited about Jameer. I think he's been more than I expect him to be.
Yeah, month of the season, I think you look back as a massive success that you found. You know, I think we can have the five of the four minus Uday in the starting lineup and Avery off the bench can be top scorers for you and top playmakers every day. And like you said, we thought Jameer would be more of a Mike, but he's almost more of a DB in terms of facilitating, scoring a little bit, being that pest on defense. And like, if you remember, DB got so many steals for this team and helped keep the pace up, which is massive. And we don't really have like a Mike, which is, which has been fine for us so far. So, I love what this first month of the season is or was for the Frogs. And I think it's obviously Jamie gets criticized for the strength of schedule a lot, but we have the ninth best strength of schedule going forward. And to be able to get comfortable with your team in all these different teams, I don't think is necessarily a bad thing when you have the Big 12 on your back.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll get into the strength of schedule and Georgetown Clemson stuff.
Perfect.
Let's talk about, so on Twitter, especially recently, there's been a lot going around kind of about TCU's strength of schedule. What it's been the second word. I mean, how would I say it? The second easiest in the country so far, but the ninth toughest going forward. Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we actually have the easiest so far. I think it's
There you go.
362 out of 362. Yeah.
Okay. So Jamie has caught a little bit of criticism for that, but I think obviously when you play in the Big 12, I think it's okay. I don't want to excuse it because some of these opponents have been a little ridiculous, but when you play in the Big 12, you play a good team every night. You play like a top 100 team pretty much every night. So I don't see it as a super concerning thing, especially considering that the rest of TCU's non-conference is going to not be easy. So quickly, I guess, what are your thoughts on that whole thing? And is that a concern for you at all for when this team has to actually play somebody?
No, it looks bad. Like, don't get me wrong, but as you said, it really doesn't matter. Like, it's nice. It's fun on Twitter to talk about, because if you see a 6-0 team in the Big 12, you're like, oh, why isn't this team being talked about more? And then everyone's like, oh, they're just frauds because they didn't play anybody. So it's fun Twitter discourse, but by the end of the season, it's not going to matter because we're going to see them play all the toughest teams
Yeah.
in the toughest conference, and their non-conference heats up. Like, they don't have another cupcake. I think they have one more cupcake on New Year's Day, but other than that, like, they are, yeah, as ninth toughest for the rest of the year. So it's a fun discussion right now, but that discussion's going to stop going forward because they do play in the Big 12. So it doesn't matter, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's just, it is what it is. I think, you know, the what we should be celebrating is that they haven't messed up any of these easy games. They've taken care of business every night. So
Exactly, yeah.
I
And that's
don't.
one thing to like is nice, because last year that didn't happen. We blew
Exactly.
that third straight game. So to look at this team, I think there you can still take a lot of positives, even though it's been, cupcakes for so far. But I actually kind of like it because you get nice wins and you get to kind of feel out your team and work out the kinks without necessarily having to experience a blimp on your record or, closer games. But it's been nice, but I am ready to get a bump in competition.
Yeah, and just to demonstrate that it will get tougher, so far the toughest team TCU's played has been Nebraska Omaha, and they're ranked 265th according to KenPom. The only team that is worse than that they have going forward, like you said, is on New Year's Day against Texas A&M Commerce. They are the 300th best team. But coming up, they have Georgetown, who's 168th, then Clemson 48, Arizona State 100, Old Dominion 184, and then Big 12. I mean, I kind of guessed when I said they would stay under the top 100 the rest of the way in the Big 12. Technically, West Virginia is 105, but everyone else is a top 100 basketball team. So I think I mean, it's going to get so tough going forward that this doesn't really matter to me. And you mentioned, you know, we know not to put too much stock in the secret scrimmages, but they played Alabama in a secret scrimmage earlier in the year and beat them. And Alabama's a number eight team in KenPom. So take that for what you will, but I'm not concerned, but it is a little bit ridiculous what we've seen some of these teams that TCU's played. I mean, a couple of these schools I didn't even know existed. So
Yeah,
that's kind
same.
of been funny. But I yeah, I'm not concerned for the basketball team. It's more funny than anything, in my opinion.
Yeah. Also, too,
And I guess if you get to the tough opponents and they don't look ready, then it's something we can talk about. Like, okay, you can't play
100%, yeah.
cupcakes for a month straight and expect to come out against Georgetown or Clemson and look great. Like, if they don't show up in those games, we'll come back to this discussion. But right now, yeah, I'm not concerned.
Yeah, they've got tourney wins in the past two seasons, and they've had a lot of guys coming back, so it's not like nobody on this team is accustomed to playing tough teams. Also, while everybody was, having fun in Feast Week tournaments, our tournament, the Diamond Head Classic, like, we play Old Dominion, which isn't that great, but if we win, we would probably play Nevada, who's 45 in KenPom, and
They're
if
good.
you win that, maybe you get like a Georgia Tech or something. So there's still lots of opportunity for this team to play tough teams. And that Christmas week will be like TCU fans feast week almost.
All right, moving into the actual, so we keep talking about this how it gets tougher. Let's talk about some of these teams that TCU will see soon. Let's start with Georgetown. They see Georgetown on Saturday, and I guess that's the only game this week. They play
Yeah.
two games in the next, what, like 2 weeks. They play
Yeah.
Georgetown on Saturday the 2nd, and then they play Clemson the Saturday the 6th, and then they play Arizona State Saturday the 16th. So we actually won't have a lot of TCU
Yeah,
to
it gets
talk about.
slower. It'll probably be like we'll have a pot out before that Clemson game probably. So we can probably just focus on Georgetown.
Yeah, let's talk about Georgetown. What are you mentioned Jaden Epps already, who's a really good player, really great scorer. But what is this team? What do you take? What do you make of this Georgetown team based on what you've seen so far from them.
Yeah, it's finally fun to talk about a real team that TCU is playing. So, I mean, Georgetown is a very interesting team because they got Ed Cooley from Providence, mm-hmm. which is, you know, one of the top like personality coaches in the country. So they're still working out the kinks. Like they blew a game to Holy Cross. They lost to Rutgers. They had to go to overtime with American. They're not great, but they have talent and they're in the Big East and you can't sleep on them. And when you're going to their house on a Saturday when they have a power conference tournament coming in, like they're going to get up for that game. There's going to be fans there. I think they'll play TCU. I think TCU will win probably by double digits. Jaden Epps and Dontrez Styles are two studs, and that's the bulk of their offense. They can shoot the three. They can score from all levels. They're a nice little backcourt. This is huge to see the test that we've been talking about and how well Jameer Nelson can defend players and how well our defense is, because Jameer Nelson and Micah Peavy are two of the best perimeter defenders in the country. So that'll be tested. You just can't let them get hot. I think if you play the pace at your style and you get all the possessions that they usually do, they should be fine. I'm not too worried about it, but any bump in competition is definitely something to be alarming, and they have to be up for that game if they want to win.
Yeah. Yeah. And for those who are not familiar with Jaden Epps, he's a sophomore and he's averaging 19.7 points per game on really good shooting splits. I'll just go through real quickly some of his points numbers. Against Jackson State, he had 34 on 10 of 18 shooting, 7 of 9 from three. In that overtime game against American, he had 31. And then his other big game was in the loss to Holy Cross, he had 22. So he is a really good scorer, but more importantly, he's a really efficient scorer. He's the, you know, it's him and Styles that kind of make the offense go. But another guy, I don't know anything about this guy, but he has a fantastic name. Supreme Cook, one of the best names in college basketball, I'm declaring right now. But this guy is leading the team in rebounds with 8. He scores 11.2 rebounds a game. Again, I don't know anything about him, but a fun name to watch, and it looks like a fun player to watch. But yeah, like you said, back to the TCU stuff. We talked about this perimeter defense that TCU has and the potential that it has to be really good. This is the perfect test for that, in my opinion, because the two top scorers are guards. It's Jaden Epps and Dontrez Styles, and together they're scoring like 30. What would it be, like 36 points a game combined? So, really more. So, I mean, TCU should win this game, and it's a test in the fact that Georgetown is a team with a pulse, but also it's a test in the fact that Georgetown's guards are some of the best in the country scoring wise. So it'll be cool to see what Jameer and Avery and Micah can do to slow them down.
Georgetown has crazy talent. Like, all these guys are transfers because Cooley's got such a big pull that he can get top-tier talented guys to come there. Like, I think Epps is from Illinois, and I think Styles is from UNC. And that Supreme Cook guy is a transfer from, I think, a smaller school. But
it's like Fairfax, I think, or Fairfield.
Yeah, Fairfield, something like that. But Cooley has this pull where he has top-talented guys, and I think they've just started out slow because – they aren't really meshing that well as a team, and that takes time for certain teams to get to know how to play with each other. So they have another game. They play Merrimack on Wednesday, so that'll be another touch-up game for them. So the more games Georgetown plays, the more they're going to get better because their talent is going to be able to mesh together. So they have the opportunity to beat us. I don't think it'll happen, but yeah, they're probably a better team than their record even shows right now, to be honest.
Yeah, they're talented, and they have a brand new head coach who is one of the best in the country, I would say. So I think, I mean, for me personally, I'm happy to know that Georgetown is you know, has a chance to be on its way back to kind of the, you know, from the basement of college basketball. They have not been good. I mean, they've even been terrible for years under Patrick Ewing. So now that they're, you know, they have a legitimate college coach, they have a lot of talent. I am not going to write them off. TCU will be the best team that they have played up to that point. I think they'll be, you know, they're going to get up for that game. And I'm really excited to watch both teams and how both teams respond to a, you know, a big non-conference game.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun game to watch on, you know, on the second TV on conference championship football Saturday. Yeah. So it's definitely going to be a super fun game to watch. And I'm just excited to see TCU play a real team. Like this, the season almost starts now for TCU. It seems like it was almost, you know what I mean, preseason before, but I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, me too. Let's see, anything else? What are the other, are there any other good, I mean, there's obviously Kansas UConn and TCU Georgetown coming up this week. Are there any other good Big 12 games you can think of top of your head?
Oral Roberts plays at K-State tonight, which is kind of cool. Right. I think Tech plays at Butler or something like that soon. If we want to watch our non-conference opponent, Clemson plays at Bama tonight, which is kind of a fun game that I might turn on.
Yeah.
So Creighton plays at Oklahoma State on Thursday. There's some good games. It's no feast week. I think Houston plays Xavier, which is probably their toughest game. Fresno State goes into BYU.
Mm-hmm.
There's definitely some games to keep your eye out. So it's going to be a fun week.
Yeah, I agree. Well, anything else?
I think another great episode.
That's it for me. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by killerfrogs.com. Nick and I are writing and reporting on TCU basketball, Big 12 basketball over there at killerfrogs.com. So go read, you know, our stuff and the rest of the team stuff. It's all good. And for the final time, my name is Davis Wilson. I was joined today by Nick Giromani, my co-host, and we will see you next week. Thank you.